Thank you, Bridget. Thank you, Hannah. I'd like to pray. I know we've already prayed some, but Father, it truly is a privilege to be your children who are called to bring others out of darkness, to think that you would look at people like us and say, yeah, they could do that. Not who I would have chosen, Father, but thank you for your grace and mercy that has called us to such a family where we can stand together and help each other do your purposes in this world. I pray for this morning that our hearts can be united as we go to your word. Father, united in purpose to see your will accomplished on this earth, Father. Help us to understand what we've been called to even more and to stand in your grace and mercy that allows us to do this in this world. In the name of Jesus Christ, amen. You know, as I was driving down here, I was, after I prayed for about half of the way, then I was listening to some music that my wonderful husband, he makes these CDs for me, because we all like music in our family, but I will never take the time to put things on a disc or, you know, if it shows up, great. If it doesn't, well, I'll just kind of listen to Country West or whatever radio. It's just what happens for me. I'm not going to put the time into it. All of my children are very proficient at that, I have to say, and so is Tom. But he makes me these thumb drives all the time for my car, CDs in the house that is of music he knows that will bless me. And I was listening on the way down here, and I have to read you part of the lyrics. I'm not going to play the song, but I went, wow, was this just for me today? It's called Christ in Me. It's by some guy, Ian Yates. I better put my glasses on for this part. To live is Christ, to die is gain. My performance is death, for in Christ I live. For in Christ I live, now to stand uncondemned forever. In the freedom of the cross, I'm free forever. And then it's every step, every breath, every moment, Christ in me. Every storm, every tide, every ocean, Christ in me. In the joy, in the love, in the sorrow, Christ in me. On the mountain, in the valley, Christ in me. You are within me, you go before me, you are behind me, you are with me. Another verse is, All power to God be, your might to uphold me, your wisdom to teach me, your hand to lead me, every step, every breath. And it is a new life, and it doesn't go away. It's with us every moment of every day. Wherever we're going, whatever we're facing, we have that. What an amazing truth. Turn to John, please, chapter 14. I am going to be teaching on two of the manifestations listed in 1 Corinthians 12. But before we go there, I wanted to go to John just to remind you of this incredible life that we've been given in the Spirit that Jesus Christ spoke of to his disciples before he was leaving, because they were sad he was going to be leaving. And I mean, I get it. You have a great friend, a great believer who lives for God, and they're going to depart. That would sorrow your heart. And Jesus Christ, I mean, the one who always did the Father's will, the guy who taught them that they could do some of these amazing things, he's going to leave. Well, who do we follow now? What do we do now, you know? And so he has some words of comfort to speak to them. In John 14, we'll start in verse 16. I'm in Ephesians. That's not going to work, is it? It's a good section to go to, though. I do like it. But I want to be in John 14, verse 16. I'm reading out of King James. I don't care what version you read in, it's still good. It says, "And I will pray the Father, that, and he shall give you another comforter, that he may abide with you forever." We were talking in our cabin about, the word comforter doesn't quite expand on what that is that the Spirit's giving. We've talked about it being a helper. And I get that. But helper to me, and that's just me. Okay, it's a good word. It's not bad. Mommy's little helper, though, I don't think of the Spirit as that. Okay, it's a lot more than my helper. It's huge. It's bigger than that. It's a new life within that enables me to walk in a whole new way. I couldn't be part of this family. I couldn't do what God's called me to do were it not for this helper, for this comforter. It's a huge thing that God, or Jesus Christ, is telling them that God's going to give them. And he said, I'll pray, and he's going to give you this, another comforter, that he may abide with you sometimes. No, forever, forever. Better than Jesus Christ being here, you know? He was only around with them for a while. This comforter is something that's with us forever. The spirit that God gives is forever. There's, we heard in manifestations, didn't we? Our prayer, I can't remember which one it was. Just, you know, we can't do anything to get rid of it. Not that we want to, but it's comforting to know I can't blow it so bad I lose it, right? That will still be there. Even the spirit of truth whom the world cannot receive, because it seeth him not, neither knoweth him, but you know him, for he dwelleth with you and shall be in you. You know, it says in 1 Corinthians 2 that the man that doesn't have spirit can't understand spiritual matters and things like we can. But we have the Spirit of God. And he wants us to know that, to understand it, which is why we've had this weekend to look at and to maybe broaden your horizons and remind you to stir up what's there to so we can live for God the way we've been called to. It's in a whole new way. It's not just old Kathy walking around that has spirit who just does the same old things. It's supposed to be a new life that is demonstrated in my life to the world and in your life. And we can know things spiritually. We have new eyes to see things with. We need to use them, though. You know, we need to be led by that spirit like we talked about, has been talked about multiple times. Where was I? 17. For he dwelleth with you and shall be in you. I will not leave you comfortless or orphans or orphanless. I forget what it says in some of the other versions. I'm not going to leave you alone. You're not on your own here, okay? I will come to you yet a little while, and the world seeth me no more. But you'll see me, because I live, you shall live also. At that day you shall know that I am in the Father, I am in my Father, and ye in me, and I in you. We were talking again in our cabins, had some great discussions about the unity that's there with God and Christ. You know, just amazing what God did when he placed that spirit within us. At that day you shall know that I am in my Father, and ye in me, and I in you. Go down to verse 26 before we go over a chapter. We do this thing in our fellowship. Where's Nancy? Yeah. Where we send out a verse. We take turns each day. And guess what verse popped up in my text this morning? But the Comforter, verse 26, which is the Holy Ghost. Isn't that the one you sent, Nancy? Yeah. Whom the Father will send in my name, he shall teach you all things and bring all things to your remembrance whatsoever I have said unto you. Turn to the next chapter, chapter 15. We are not on our own called to do that. Because I don't know about you, but that's pretty intimidating when I look at Jesus Christ's life and what he did, and that I'm called to do even the same works is pretty intimidating. If it were just me, no. We're called to do greater works than these, you know. And it's because we did this. We got this. We received power in that Holy Spirit that we can do this. Okay. Where are we? John 15, down in verse 26. But when the Comforter is come, whom I will send unto you from the Father. And we've talked about this in our church before, but what a wonderful thing that who got to distribute, who got to, Jesus did. He got to give the Spirit on the day of Pentecost. How kind of God, how wonderful. But when the Comforter is come, whom I will send unto you from the Father, even the Spirit of truth, which proceedeth from the Father, he shall testify, or it shall testify of me. And ye also shall bear witness, because you have been with me from the beginning. They were to bear witness because they had known Christ, but you and I are now equipped to bear witness because of that spirit that we've been given. It is a new life. It is an enablement that we need, that we couldn't do what we're called to do without that. See, I'd already changed the order of things, so I'm flipping back to the beginning. Turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 12, please. I'm sure this weekend hasn't been what you thought it was going to be. that we would just explain to you everything about the manifestation so that you could walk out knowing everything and you could do it perfectly. Because we couldn't find those verses. We looked for them. We wanted to give you this rule book of how to do this, and it's not there because the Spirit is the one that's going to teach and lead, not me, not any of these teachers. Our conversations have been more, I don't know why I'm being asked to teach this. I don't know why what I'm even going to do yet. And because so many of these manifestations listed, they're only listed here. You don't find some of the things listed anywhere else. The exact wording, gifts of healing. It comes up 5,000 times in the Bible. No, it doesn't. The ones I'm going to cover today, working of miracles. You can't find it anywhere else. You can find the word working. You can find the word miracles. I'm also going to cover faith and working of miracles. But the thing I want you to remember, great point Stephanie made, is that they all work together. And if I try to delineate, okay, now it's time to put on the hat, remember, of faith. Now I'm going to put on this hat. Now I'm going to put, you know, faith and working of miracles, I'm not going to go to very many verses because there's not much, because faith was required for miracles to occur, for healing to occur, for discerning of spirits to occur, but it doesn't say, now Jesus put on the faith hat and then he did this. Or Peter and John, when they went up to the lame man, oh, wait, okay, I'm going to operate faith. I'm going to operate the faith, manifestation of faith now. Okay, I got it. Now I'm going to, it doesn't work like that. It's a life. It flows as we walk and are led by the Spirit. We'll have what we need. That's the greatest thing to take away from this, is that it's not up to me to figure it all out and by my own strength and my own might to put it together. Someone comes to you for healing, and it's like, oh, I got to get that manifestation out now. No, it's a new life. And I walk in the Spirit. I'm led by the Spirit. And I will have what I need if I'm doing that. That's what we see, the greatness of that. Anyway, chapter 12. And there again, I'm not there. I am now. No, I'm not. I'm in 13. Which is a great chapter, by the way. You can operate those manifestations not in love, but it's not the best, right? And I won't say that love motivates you to do the right things, but a love for God, a love and abiding in his will and abiding in Christ, those are all part of how we're going to be able to do this most effectively and most beneficially to yourself and to others. Back to verse 7, but the manifestation of the Spirit is given to every man to profit with all. God gave us the Spirit for a benefit for everyone. For to one is given by the Spirit the word of wisdom, to another the word of knowledge by the same Spirit, to another faith by the same Spirit, to another gifts of healing by the same Spirit, to another the working of miracles, to another prophecy, to another discerning of spirits, to another diverse kinds of tongues, to another the interpretation of tongues. But all these worketh that one and selfsame Spirit, dividing to every man severally as it wills. I don't need to speak in tongues and have a word of prophecy right now. But when I need to, it'll be there. It's as it wills. We have a freedom to respond and to be led by this Spirit, but we are equipped to do these. And more. These are just the ones listed in Corinthians. We've talked about that. I'm going to talk a little bit about faith and working of miracles, like I mentioned. Faith, the word faith is simply the word pistis, which is translated faith, or believing sometimes, but most of the time in the Bible, in King James anyways, it's translated faith. You could get really mixed up if you read every usage of faith and think it's the manifestation of faith, because that is not true. Most of the time, it's not. It's just God said something, they believed it. They had faith to be healed. Is that the manifestation of faith? If I have faith? No. It's just they believed this guy could heal them. I mean, some of them didn't even really know about Christ. They just knew he was the guy that could heal or feed them. And they had faith. Well, that can't be the manifestation of faith. They didn't even have spirit. Okay, so you can get messed up if you try to read it into everything. Here in 1 Corinthians, though, it has to be something greater than believing, like, I hear God's word and I believe it and I got born again. Because it's a manifestation of the Spirit. It's a supernatural thing. It goes beyond what I can hear and believe myself. I need help. Sometimes if God tells me to heal you, oh yeah, right, me? I've got to have faith to do that. So I've got to go and get in my closet and read all the verses and memorize. No, God supplies the faith to do what he wants. It's a manifestation of the Spirit. It's not up to you to wait till you get your believing up before you can do it. It's simply you have a new life that enables you to do what God's called you to do. What a comfort that was to my heart to understand that. You know, because my faith isn't there to heal you, so good luck. No, I mean, yeah, we want to grow in faith. We want to grow in this stuff. But I have a source of power now. And if I will be led by the Spirit, it will supply what I need to do what God's asking me to do, to what the Spirit is leading. It's not up to me to just pull myself up by the bootstraps and do it, you know. Isn't that cool? To me, it just was so freeing. Because, I mean, I can't do miracles. Me? You? No, we can't. Of ourselves, we can't. I can't even have the faith to do that at times. I want to, but I don't. Because, I mean, I can hardly get out of bed some mornings as I'm getting older, let alone have a miracle of healing for you. But I can have the faith to do what God calls me to do. And he will supply what's needed. That's the cool thing. It's done. It's already there. You know, Marta went to that record in, well, the three Gospels about the guy that had the son who was foaming and rolling. And, you know, she addressed that it was, you know, the disciples couldn't heal it, remember, because of one reason was because the father didn't believe, right? Wasn't that part of it? And another was because who else didn't believe? The disciples, because of their unbelief. And they were encouraged to pray, right? In Matthew 17, we're not going to read that whole record, but if you'll turn there, please. Right after that record, as he's talking to the disciples, or it's actually as he's talking to them about when they ask him why we couldn't do it, Matthew 17, in verse 20, and Jesus, you know, why couldn't we do it? Verse 19, that's what they said, and Jesus said unto them, because of your unbelief. Matthew 17, 20. Okay, because of your unbelief, but because of your unbelief, for verily I say unto you, if you have faith as a grain of mustard seed, you shall say unto this mountain, remove hence to yonder place, and it shall move, and nothing shall be impossible unto you. I laughed when I read that. Because, you know, you couldn't do it because you weren't believing. You didn't have faith. But if you have faith, it's just tiny. You can move a mountain to the sea. Now, I know in some of the versions it says, because of their little believing, instead of unbelief. It's not oligos pistos, if you're familiar with that term. It's just pistos. Unbelief. Apistis, I think it is. Anyway, it means it's just unbelief. You didn't have faith, so you couldn't do it. But if you have faith that's tiny, you can move a mountain. That's not the faith that when I believed on Jesus Christ. This is a supernatural faith if a mountain's going to move. You know? That's the kind of, it's an example to me. It's to bring about the impossible, that God will supply the faith that we need. If he's calling us to do something supernatural, we in our own selves cannot do it, but he will supply the faith to do it. If he's calling you to get rid of a devil spirit out of somebody and you're scared, okay, remember, he will provide the faith, the supernatural ability that's in the Spirit to do these things. What a joy, what a comfort to know that. You're not on your own. It's not up to you to muster up your believing to do these things. You are equipped in the Spirit. You have a new life that enables you to do these things. We walk in that new life and we're able to do what he's called us to do. The manifestation of faith gives a man the ability to produce great signs and wonders, great miracles, great healings. It works in conjunction with the other manifestations listed in Corinthians, or other workings of the Spirit. It allows any man who's got the Spirit anyways, the faith to bring about the impossible. It is not possible for Teresa to heal in person, in of herself, but in this new life, it is possible. When faith is required to do the supernatural, it can be there. It is there. We have a source of power to do what the Lord directs in those situations. That is amazing. I thought I had found the perfect verse to substantiate what I wanted to tell you. You ever done that? Oh, good, I got the right one. Turn to Acts, please. But it's still a great verse. And I think the more I look at it, the more I stand in awe of it. This is speaking of Philip. Acts chapter 8. I'm sorry. Is that where I wanted to go? No, where was it, Katie? Was it... Seven? Six, that's right. It's 6 verse 8, I think, not 8 verse 6. No? 6, yeah, there it is. Acts 6. Philip's a good guy, too, by the way. He did some great things. But we're going to look at Stephen. And there's this great verse in the King James. It says, "And Stephen, verse 8, full of faith and power, two of my words." Yay, faith and working of miracles, that's the word power. Great, I found the right one I could just show you. Did great wonders and miracles among the people. Now, what do your newer other versions say? Full of grace. In the most reliable manuscripts, it is the word grace, not faith. Man, you blew it. But the more I thought about it, when we believed on Christ... It says we were given power, dunamis, the same word for miracles that's used in 1 Corinthians 12. Stephen was full of that. Who else is full of it? Oh, I think you are. Oh, and maybe you are. And maybe you are. Full of grace. Who else might have been given a little bit of grace in their lives? You and me. You and me. And what did Stephen do as a result of being full of grace and power? He did great wonders and miracles among the people. That word for miracles is the word signs. There's two words, we'll get to that later, but anyway, there's two words, main words used for miracles. But we're on faith right now. No, actually, we're moving to miracles, so I can do that one now. Working of miracles. It's an interesting way of putting it. The word working is used two times. They're both in 1 Corinthians 12. Go back to 1 Corinthians 12, please. I will say some of the Greek words just because some of you I know, these are ones that probably a good portion of you might be familiar with them, and so it may bring other things to mind for you. But if you've never heard the Greek words, don't worry about it. It's pretty simple just reading it, but... So working of miracles, it's simply the word, working is a good translation. Operation is how it's translated in the other place it's used, in King James anyways. In verse 6, it says, "And there are diversities of operations." It's that word, operations. NIV says, "There are different kinds of working," or workings, I forget what it says. But in the Spirit, you know, there's... Honestly, in the NIV, I think this whole section is a little clearer. There are differences of gifts. There are differences of, NIV, I'm going to look it up. Differences of services, differences of different kinds of works, workings or work. But in that same verse, in verse 6, it is the same God which worketh all in all. And that's the verb form of this word. So it's a noun. Working of miracles. It's a noun. Working is a noun. And in the same verse here where it says there's different kinds of working, it's the same God that works That's comforting to me. He works all in all. That verb form is used quite frequently in the scriptures. It's used in Ephesians 1, speaking of the working of God when he raised Christ from the dead. That's a pretty good working, a pretty good demonstration of power. It's used in Ephesians 3:20, where it says, "Now unto him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us." It's used in Philippians 2:13, "For it is God which worketh in you, both to will and to do of his good pleasure." The working of miracles, the word for miracle, is the word power. There's another word that's translated actually more frequently in the King James. It's translated miracles, and that's the word for a sign. Here it's the working of power. This is a manifestation demonstrating the Spirit. It's a working of power going out when we do that. Not that signs are bad. They looked for signs, and there we reprove for that in the Gospels. But we're also told at the end of Matthew, or end of Mark, turn to Mark, please. Chapter 16. And at the toward the end of the chapter, we'll start in verse 17. "And these signs," that's the word Simeon, which is used, translated miracles many times too. It's translated signs, miracles predominantly. "These signs shall follow them that believe. In my name they shall cast out devils. They shall speak with new tongues. They shall take up serpents, and if they drink any deadly thing, it shall not hurt them. They shall lay hands on the sick, and they shall recover. So then after the Lord had spoken unto them, he was received up into heaven and sat on the right hand of God, and they went forth and preached everywhere, the Lord working," there again, "with them." That's a different word, but it's similar. "And the Lord working with them and confirming the word with signs following." A sign might not always be a working of miracles that's in 1 Corinthians 13 or 12. It could be, certainly what's listed before that, casting out spirits. I forget the other ones that were listed that were going to follow the believers. That's some working of power to do that, right? But it's also used of, you're going to find Jesus in the manger. That was a sign to them. Fulfilling prophecies of the Old Testament many times are referred to as a sign to the people. But here in Corinthians, it's a working of power that could be a sign. And it is a sign to people. It is a sign to us that this is really true. Turn to Luke, please, chapter 24. And like we heard in some of the other teachings, you know, the signs that we're going to follow the preaching of the word, the preaching of this gospel, it's supposed to accompany it. It's supposed to say, hey, this is real. Look at this, you know. It's to be a sign. In Mark, no, where did I tell you to go? Luke 24. And down in verse 19, it's 49 though, where he's speaking to them before he, you know, and he says, "And behold, I send the promise of my Father upon you. But tarry ye in the city of Jerusalem until you be endued with power from on high." They were to go to wait till they were enabled, till they were clothed with that power from on high. Then they were going to do these powerful signs. You and I don't have to wait, do we? Once a man believes on Christ, we are equipped with a power that is amazing. I just want to refresh your memory a little bit about this power, okay? Turn to Colossians chapter 3. Because sometimes when we look at what we're called to do, it isn't of our ability to do it. Well, then we have to remember what ability we have, what we've been endued with, what we've been clothed with. Colossians chapter 1 in verse 3, it says, "We give thanks to God and the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, praying always for you, since we heard of your faith in Christ Jesus and of the love which you have to all the saints." And it goes on, and go down to verse 9. For this cause we also, since the day we heard it, do not cease to pray for you and to desire that you might be filled with all the knowledge, with the knowledge of his will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding, that you might walk worthy of the Lord, unto all pleasing, being fruitful in every good work, and increasing in the knowledge of God, strengthened with all might, according to his glorious power. They were praying for that to happen. And we have been given that power. And we can be strengthened with all might according to his glorious power. It's not to be of my own strength. I love the next part. Unto all patience and long suffering with joyfulness. Growing in and walking in this, we got to be a little patient with ourselves. We're not going to do it perfectly the first time. So we just quit. No. I mean, you have the freedom to do that. How many of you, and you don't have to raise your hand, I'll raise my hand. When I first spoke in tongues, I thought it was garbage. I said a word, I just made that up. And then I thought, when somebody said, no, you didn't. I went, okay, let me think, okay, God says this. Okay, I did it, and I had a few more. And I remembered someone telling me, because I didn't want to do it right away, so I didn't do it for quite a while. I did it by myself in the bathtub. And so I'm in the bathtub, and I tried it. And, that wasn't it. I don't know if this really works. And then I remembered someone saying, well, you know, you might have only a word or two, but just keep doing it. There'll be more. So I went a little bit more and a little bit more. And all of a sudden, I can't say it was like the waterfall and flowing. But I can say now that there's a lot of words there. So the first time you try to walk in the Spirit in other ways to operate another manifestation, maybe you'll fumble a little bit. Okay. Well, then you just quit. No, you. Okay, God, help me, teach me, lead me, show me. You think he gave you the Spirit and he just said, you figure it out, and if you can't, you're screwed. That's it. You're done. I'm done with you. No. No, that's not our God. He wants us to do this, and he will help us. But do I give up like the disciples that were reproved for their unbelief? And he said, you could have prayed. Do I ask for his help? Teach me, show me, lead me? Do you think God is upset that you want to do this and you made a mistake? When your kids do something wrong, but they're trying to do the right thing, you're just so mad that they're... No, you're delighted that they're even trying to do what's right, God is even much bigger than we are with our kids. Turn to Ephesians chapter 1, please. Oh, we didn't finish reading this. I'll stay in Colossians. Don't go anywhere yet. I didn't finish reading it because I started talking. We were in verse 10, right? Yeah. 12, okay. We finished verse 11. Strengthened with all might according to his glorious power. It's according to his glorious power or strength with all might, not according to what you muster up, by the way. Unto all patience and longsuffering with joyfulness, giving thanks unto the Father, which hath made us meet, who's made us adequate to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light. Who made us able? Who made us qualified? God. That spirit within. Who hath delivered us from the power of darkness and hath translated us into the kingdom of his dear Son. That's pretty amazing power. Turn to Ephesians, please, chapter 1. Even reading this section of scripture that we're going to look at, where almost every possible word for power, strength, might is used in just a few verses, I still feel like I'm just beginning to scratch it, that I No wonder you're praying for the eyes of our heart to be enlightened on this stuff. But when you were filled full, it was something amazing was put in you. And if my focus is on my flesh, it will fail me every time. But if I remember the power that has been given me, okay, I can have confidence in that power. Ephesians 1, verse 12, it says that we, those of us who have believed on Christ, should be to the praise of his glory who first trusted in Christ, in whom you also trusted, after that you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also after that you believed, you were sealed with that Holy Spirit of promise, which is the earnest or the token of our inheritance until the redemption of the purchased possession unto the praise of his, the glory of, unto the praise of his glory. And you've heard this before. It's just a token of what we're going to have. And this token is still mind-blowing and like, whoa, I can't, you know. Wherefore I also, after I heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus and love unto all the saints, cease not to give thanks for you, making mention of you in my prayers, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him. The eyes of your understanding being enlightened, the eyes of your heart being enlightened, that you might know what is the hope of his calling and what the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints, and what is the exceeding greatness of his power to usward who believe. And it's according to the working of his mighty power, which he wrought in Christ when he raised him from the dead and set him at his own right hand in the heavenly places. The power that placed Christ far above everything that placed, you know, all the powers and dominions, that's in the next verse, far above all principality and power and might and dominion and every name that is named, not only in this world, but also in that which is to come, and hath put all things under his feet, and gave him to be the head over all things to the church, which is us, which is his body, the fullness of him that filleth all in all. That power that's spoken of there is, it's just might, power, strength. I mean, it's just, big. Yeah, God, continue to open the eyes of my heart to see that bigger. Because we've been placed in this body of Christ, seated up there with Christ, with that kind of power over all authority. You know, we have power over all the evil spirits in the world, power over all the evil in the world, power to deliver, power to help, power to heal. We have been filled with that. And I didn't get more than you. Sharon didn't get more than me. We all have been filled full. We are complete in him, remember? We are filled with a mighty power. And we're called to show it to the world. To be led by the Spirit, to demonstrate to the world, to show how wonderful, how powerful this God is. But if I forget that power source, if I forget who I am, this new life I now have, I won't do it, you know. Turn to Ephesians chapter 3, please. Just a reminder, and for some maybe that don't know this, we have been called to be part of a body. We have been called to do these greater works. It's all part of God's plan for the ages, though, in Christ to do this. And we're part of what his plan is. In Ephesians chapter 3, verse 10, it says, to the intent that now unto the principalities and powers in the heavenly realm might be made known by the church the manifold wisdom of God. God chose this body of Christ to be a demonstration to the world of his multifaceted wisdom, some of the other verses say, of his immense wisdom. He chose us. Not the broken us, the redeemed ones who are filled with the power, who have a new life, to demonstrate this is who this God is. Wow, isn't he amazing? And the next verse says, according to the eternal purpose which he purposed in Christ Jesus our Lord. Another version says the purpose of the ages. We're pretty familiar with that, most of us in our church. But we're part of something huge that God planned for way back in Genesis to bring about. And we're a part of it now. There's a working still going to be fulfilled in the future. We know that. But we get to do and be a part of what he wants in the world when we choose to be led by the Spirit, to truly be the children of God in this world, being led by a Spirit that is a mighty Spirit that enables us to do what he's called us to do. And before we close, I just want to go to, it's kind of a funny place to go. Go to Exodus chapter 3. Because I was thinking about what could I share that might help you in this? Because we all have doubts. We all are very familiar with our shortcomings and our inadequacies. If we weren't, the world would be sure to let us know that you're not good enough, you're not the best, you're not the greatest. That isn't what God says about what he's given us and what he's made us to be. Moses was a man who was called by God too to do something different than us. And, you know, we're very familiar with Moses. He's the guy who parted the Red Sea. He's the guy who did some amazing things. But remember back to his calling and his response. And we're not going to read the whole record. It's a great record, a couple chapters to read. But I want to just remind you of some of the doubts he had. In chapter 3, verse 1, now Moses kept the flock of Jethro, his father-in-law, the priest of Midian, and he led the flock to the backside of the desert and came to the mountain of God, even to Horeb. Exodus 3, verse 1-2. And the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a flame of fire out of the midst of a bush. And he looked and thought, that's weird. And behold, the bush burned with fire, and the fire was not consumed. So it caught his attention, so he looked. And Moses said, I will now turn aside and see this great sight, why the bush is not burned. And when the Lord saw that he turned aside to see, God called to him out of the midst of the bush and said, Moses, Moses. And he said, here am I. I can relate to this. I, going along in my own life, and someone told me about Jesus Christ, and I think I need him. Okay, I believe that. Wasn't much. And what happened? I had a call of God I wasn't even aware of yet. Moses turns to look, and here he is, okay. And then he's called, but let's see. And he says, okay, I'm ready to go part the Red Sea. Go down to verse 11. Some of you are familiar with the record. That isn't what he did. Verse 11, and Moses said unto God, and I can relate to this, who am I? Who am I that you should call me to do this? Who am I that you should place me in this body that's so wonderful to do your things? You know, Moses said, who am I that I should go unto Pharaoh and that I should bring forth the children of Israel out of Egypt? I'm not going to read all the record there where he goes there, but God tells him, here's the things I'm going to have you do. And then he goes, oh, but God, chapter 4. And Moses answered in verse 1 and said, but behold, they won't believe me, nor they're not going to listen to me. They'll say the Lord didn't come to you and appear to you. And the Lord said unto him, what's in your hand? And he said, a rod. And he said, okay, cast it on the ground. So he threw it on the ground, and it became a serpent, and he runs from it. That's kind of when I first read about manifestations. I wanted to run over here. No, not me, God, not me, God. I just love that it's just a great record of how God will patiently work with him, and he does time and time again. So he runs from it in verse 4, and the Lord said unto Moses, put your forth your hand and take it by the tail. And he brought forth his hand, he caught it, and it became a rod in his hand. Down in verse 10. There's more things that happen. You can read it yourself. Like I said, I'm highlighting his responses. God tells him, okay, now I want you to go do this and this and this. And he goes, Moses said unto the Lord, oh my Lord, I am not eloquent, nor since thou hast spoken unto thy servant. I'm slow of speech. I'm not good at talking. I can't do what you're calling me to do. That is a human response to the calls of God. You're not alone in that response, thinking you can't do it, because you can't on your own, okay? But as we know, the end of the story, does he respond to God's call somewhat? And some amazing things happen. The sea is parted. The Christ line continues, which has an effect on you and me. So if you looked at some of this stuff and kind of shied away, okay. But don't turn away from the God that tells you you can do it. Ask him for his help. Be humble to him. Teach me how to do this, because I can't do this on my own. I don't know, and I'm scared. I'm not very good at anything, let alone this. You know, whatever thoughts you might have, everybody's different. And if you're arrogant and thinking, I can do whatever God says I can do, maybe you need to get a little more humble to do it right. But regardless, we're called to do this, and it is a great calling. And we can respond with faith to our God and say, it's okay to say I'm scared, and I don't think I can do this. Can you help me? I want to do this for you. And you know, the world needs it. Our church needs it. The body of Christ as a bigger picture needs it. You know, God gave us the Spirit to equip his children to walk in a dark world, to understand and see what is going on in the spiritual realm. He needs his people to walk in that wisdom, to walk in that knowledge that only the Spirit can give. To walk in that power and authority to bring someone from death to life, to get rid of spirits that are hindering them from trusting in a living God. And you and I are equipped to do that. And if we'll be humble and honest with our God, he will patiently teach us and help us to do what he wants us to do, because he loves us. He wants this to happen. He wants his purposes to be accomplished in this world, and you and I have been called to be a part of that. What an amazing thing that God would do that. He calls us and gives us what we need to do it. Like the kid going to get his dad a birthday present or a Christmas present, and mom gives him the money to go get it. You know, he gives us everything we need to do it. We simply have to say, okay, help me, teach me, show me. And we're going to close in Ephesians chapter 6. Verse 10, finally, my brethren, go out and be Superman and do my work. No, see, that's not it. That's a sad way to try to live. You are called to a body to do this together. We can help each other. The Spirit of God has enabled us and will continue to help us to do this. We're to be strong in that. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. His might, the might that raised Christ from the dead, that seated him above all principalities and powers where we're now seated. Be strong in that. Put on the whole armor of God. And folks, if we choose not to walk and to be led by the Spirit, we're not putting on the whole armor of God. We're not using the eyes and ears that are needed to walk spiritually in this life. And we need it. I need you to do that. You know, and to think that anyone is above needing that is ridiculous. I may need you to pull me out of the ditch sometimes. I don't even know how I fell in the ditch. I don't know what the ditch, how to get out of it. Spiritually, I'm talking. You know, the devil is sly. He deceives. He tricks. He causes people to stumble and to fall. I need you to walk spiritually to help if that happens in my life. You need me to walk spiritually to help. And the world needs it to even just get to know this Christ. So let's do this. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Wherefore, take unto you what you feel like. No, there again. the whole armor of God. It's needed. It's needed. That you may be able to withstand in the evil day and having done all to stand. Amen. That's all I'm going to do.